No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the trainer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plain Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Dennis and Captain Ed. We are your crew navigating the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plain Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Dennis, recently moved into an air park in Fort Myers, and he is just, you know, this has fit you like a glove. I mean, we've been covering this on the show over the last few months, and you know, every time I talk to him, Dennis is like telling me something new that he has discovered as part of, living amongst all his aviation friends there in an air park. I mean, it's like the best of all worlds. And this week is no exception. You actually had everybody over for what, a barbecue or what? What the heck did you do down there in your air park?
I hosted an FAA safety seminar. So for those of you that, you know, listened to us a couple of weeks back, we were talking about the WINGS program and how you can earn WINGS, credits and by attending seminars. Well, I put on one of those seminars and I invited folks from our neighborhood to come over to our hangar. And I brought in air traffic controllers from Fort Myers International and from the GA Reliever Airport, Page Field. And we had an opportunity to talk to them about our operations, what we do, and more importantly, they were able to tell us how they route the traffic in and out of the two major airports here and how the airspace affects our pilots and, you know, what we do, how it affects their approaches and how we can be more efficient and effective and utilizing their air traffic control services.
You got to love that. Now, so was there barbecue or was this a breakfast thing? Surely you had food.
Well, see, I had to compromise. So we do the flyout breakfasts every Saturday morning. Yeah. So I didn't want to impose, you know, have people not show up because they wanted to go get breakfast instead. So I made it at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Kind of a compromise. And my daughter went and made homemade cutout sugar cookies with airplanes and helicopters.
Ah,
we're trying to appeal to the mosquito control and the sheriff's department, plus our pilots. So we had a mix of aircraft.
Okay. Mosquito control is right there next to them, just so you know. I don't know that bugs are attracted to sugar cookies, but maybe they are. I mean, we just had to fill in that gap, I guess, here, Dennis. But I don't know. Ed, what do you think? You should have been there as an FAA examiner, shouldn't
have
you?
I wasn't invited.
See?
That
what
was
up
by
with that?
Choice.
That was by choice.
I purposely limited the invites to a 5-mile radius of the airport because I wanted for this first go around, I wanted to focus on our particular air park.
Yeah.
And the impact that our flying in and out has on Fort Myers and also how Fort Myers routes traffic. You know, I've been out in my backyard and I've seen a 737 come 1,500 feet down our main runway.
Huh.
That's not exactly what I'm normally expecting. And when our pattern goes to 1,000, there's not a lot of room for buffer there. So,
sounds like executive.
Yeah, a lot like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I assume you found out why they do this? They told you or what?
It's not common, but it does occasionally happen that, you know, they're having to bring somebody, vector them around somewhere, or, you know, maybe it was even they had to send them around because of a conflict down there and just kept them low instead of, you know, bringing them back up to 8,000 feet or something like that. But yeah, it can happen. But more importantly, our folks, found where they're typically routing traffic in and out of here. And so they can make better decisions on their flight paths when we're coming in and out of the airport to maybe avoid the final approach fix as you're coming into the Fort Myers runway 24 approach area.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Now, did they listen to you, though? Did you say, well, you know, that all sounds fine and dandy, but, you know, we live here. And could you change a few things and do it this way, or does it not work that way, Dennis?
It does not work that way.
Okay.
And in fact, I think we're probably the least objectionable group of people. We don't really mind airplane noise here as a rule, you know. So if anything, they're probably going to route more traffic over the top of us.
Hmm.
Now, you know the real reason that Dennis didn't invite me, because he knows that I have
no problem letting ATC know how they can do their job better.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can give them friendly suggestions, can't you, Dennis, and say, well, you know, that's all fine and dandy. We understand about the, you know, the noise issue, but we got all these airplanes here. Couldn't you, like, skirt these guys out of our way so we have a little, you know, better access in and out of our private airport?
Well, it was a lot of that type of discussion because, you know, I've had a couple, I won't say issues, but I've had some questions that have been raised in my flying here. And I asked them, I was like, how do you guys want us to handle this? Because I was chastised for picking up my clearance after I was already clear of your airspace. And they said I should have picked that clearance up on the ground by calling on the phone. And it's like, well, hey, you know, I'm already out of your traffic pattern and out of the way. I just was trying to be, you know, easy, more convenient. So, you know, we both learned something there. So I think it was educational for all that attended.
Okay. But do you feel they heard you is my where I'm getting at with this, you know?
Absolutely. And it okay. sounded like they were willing to work with us, too. Yeah. If there's, you know, we were asking about, hey, is there a better way for us to call in, you know, because pilots are always told to call up air traffic control. This is my N number and this is where I am and this is what I want to do. And well, on a busy frequency, that's taking up a lot of cycles. So they said, you know what? If you just call up and just give us your end number, we got you. And we'll call you right back instead of going on the whole spiel. So, hey, you know, and a lot of that's going to depend on the controller. If it's slow, he's probably going to want all the information. But if it's really busy, just give him your number. Just check in with your end number. And, you know, that's really helpful for them.
Okay. Now, doing these type of things, Ed, help me out. Does this help? As far as putting faces with the VIN numbers and names, like when you do a meeting like this and then maybe you're flying and the guy recognizes your VIN number, like, hey, we were at your little seminar. Does that ever help up in the air when you're flying your aircraft, or is it only going to potentially open you up to more ridicule?
Both.
Okay.
I've heard stories of both. You know, my voice is rather distinctive. If I get on the frequency at executive tower, the tower chief, if he has to listen to something, he knows it was me.
Yeah.
You know, I have no problem with speaking up if something's not going right and telling them what needs to be done on frequency. So that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and I've often had, you know, where I've spoken up in customers' airplanes, they're like, now they're going to give me penalty vectors. And yeah, it has happened, but it's not, not for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah, they're amazed when I recognize their voices because they're like, you can recognize their voice. I'm like, yeah, I talked to you enough. I know exactly who you are.
Okay. I know who you are. I will find you.
Well, and there's a difference in when one person clicks the mic and another person does. For example, if you and I were in the airplane together, when I talk, there's a different confidence that comes through.
Yeah.
When that person talks with not a lot of confidence, well, they're going to be like a little bit more cautious of dealing with you. Mm-hmm. Versus me, they'll just tell me off, go do this, I don't care about you.
Right. Okay.
Give me the right reason.
So wait, let me get this straight, they'll be more polite to me over you?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Yep. I'm gonna remember that one. That's kind of hard for me to believe. Well, I guess if I lay low, if I'm on the down low and they don't know me, yeah, they may think I have an idea of what I'm doing. I don't know.
And I can confirm that because the page field controllers were relaying similar experiences because he recognized or knew a couple of the pilots that were there and he knows their end numbers. When he sees them come up on their scope, he already knows what they want. And if it's busy or whatever, he knows that he can tell that pilot, I need you to hold for a minute. And he knows he's not going to get mad at him. So
right.
It's maybe not penalty vectors, but they know that you're understanding of the situation.
Yeah.
And are a professional.
Okay. Yeah. And you're part of the plane cookie group or something. That's kind of how we remember you possibly, Dennis, you think?
Well, exactly. The next time I head down to Page Field, I'm sure hoping I'm going to get a straight in to 2-3 instead mm-hmm. of getting, you know, vectored all over the kingdom come because,
yeah.
Hey, I brought cookies.
Well, yeah, if you do get vectored all around and go any way, which way but loose, you'll know they didn't like the cookies. You can blame your daughter for that. But they
they like the cookies.
Okay.
People
well,
coming back for seconds. So
all
that
right.
worked out well.
I think that's a good sign. Yeah.
But I think it was a great, great introduction for everybody because people came out and were able to ask questions. But more importantly, you know, we got to meet a lot of other people outside of our little group.
Well, it's all about the social aspects of the aviation community, isn't it? That's why we do this, is to share our adventures with our friends and make some new ones too along the way. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Do you have a message or product you need to share with the aviation world? Well, look no further than Just Plane Radio. Just like you, thousands of aviation enthusiasts are hearing this message, and we could be talking about you and your product or service as early as next Saturday. Remember, a terrible thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Go to justplaneradio.com. Send us an email and let us get to work to make your marketing message matter.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Have you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis and Ed rounding out the crew. All right, so if you haven't heard already, the Bahamas have changed their entrance requirements. You no longer need to have a PCR test to get into the Bahamas if you have been vaccinated and can show proof thereof, which includes me. That includes Dennis. I believe it includes Ed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ed? All right.
Yep.
Ed just needs a passport. You still haven't.
That's why I'm not getting one. I'm not going.
And he just refuses to do that. But nope. Dennis
there,
and I
don't need to go back.
What? You can never be in the Bahamas too much. You know, I'm looking for Dennis. You want to take your plane back over there and have some fun, don't you?
I want to go diving again.
Exactly.
Over there.
See, you know, Ed isn't as much of a diver as Dennis and I, so he's not into that kind of thing, or he just doesn't like leaving the country. I don't know, or a combination thereof, maybe.
I just don't want to have to take my wife over there because I'll never get her to leave.
Oh, okay. You know,
well, for some people, that's considered a bonus.
Whoa. Hey, now. Let's just move on. You're asking for trouble there, Dennis. You know that, don't you? Yeah, I got an anniversary I celebrated this week, so let's just...
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. So I'm just going to move on. All right. So, and that's why, you know, I'm having an anniversary. I know when to do such things. All right. We have some information that might help you, what, get ready for your next check ride. It's a list, a top 10 list. Is that what this is?
Yeah, what? More or less. The folks at Bold Method put out a little list of regulations that you should probably know and be prepared to be quizzed on during your next FAA check ride. And since we have a DPE on the show today, I thought this might be kind of interesting to ask him. You know, what do you think? Do you like to see somebody bringing in their dog-eared copy of their FAR AIM with certain things highlighted, or...
Oh, I love tabs.
You like tabs. You're a tab kind of
because it makes it look like they studied.
Right. It's better to look like you've studied than to actually study. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm saying is that in some cases it helps. In some cases it is just for show.
Right.
Because they clearly have not studied.
You can find that out fairly quickly with a question or two, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With nowadays, with our electronic charts and everything that we have, too, I mean, it is honestly in many ways quicker to do a search in the FARs through your electronic thing than it is to try to figure out in the index. But having a few tabs, as you like to say, already pre-addressed can go a long way towards proving that you're ready or prepared for this test.
Yeah, we go through the preamble to the test. We talk about perfection is not the standard. We don't expect you to know everything. And yes, you may have to look something up. But being able to find it quickly, that means, okay, I'm familiar with it enough. I'm going to go to this tab. I know it's in 61. Mm-hmm. I know it's roughly around here. Okay, there it is. Here,
yeah, knowing where to look is almost more important than being able to know the exact answer.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Exactly. All right, well, let's check out this top 10 list, or 10 items that'll make you do better on your check ride, and then Ed can agree or disagree that it should be on the such list, I guess, right?
So the first thing that they bring up is the requirements for certificates, ratings, and authorizations. This is 61.3. So part 61 being the regulation involving flight training. And so you need to have things like your pilot certificate, your photo ID, and a medical. And that's all spelled out right there in 61.3. So tag it, because they're going to ask you when you first sit down, what do you need to have here for this check ride today? And you better have those three items, because Ed's going to want to see them or he's sending you home. And you're still paying him for your exam.
Regardless, whether you pass or fail.
No, they forgot their medical, I've had this happen.
Yeah.
We will actually take a second to set up an account at FAA.gov on the Airman Registry page, and they will be able to get an emergency issuance temporary email for 30 days that shows me their pilot certificate and their medical certificate.
Huh. So okay.
It's not an automatic no-go. We're told by the FAA, this is a way you can verify their information in case somebody forgot something.
Right.
So, and I've actually had to do that four or five times.
Really? Okay. That won't happen to me.
I guess it'd be more concerning if they had to fly to you for this test and didn't have that stuff.
That's usually the catcher.
Yeah, what happens in that case?
Well, you were illegal because you had to have those things to exercise your privileges.
It happened like that. The instructor came with them because it was in a multi-engine airplane.
Yeah.
And they couldn't fly by themselves in the multi-engine airplane. So that one scenario has happened. But fortunately for that individual, he was escorted over with his flight instructor because he couldn't be by PIC yet.
Uh-huh. And you didn't just have, or you just conveniently forget to ask him how he got here?
No.
Oh,
no.
You have to.
I would. If there was an issue, I'm like, you just, how are you going to get back? Because this is done.
Yeah.
But no, and that's the thing that the FAA encourages us to try to do what we can to help the activity be attempted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that obviously it's up to them how it's completed, the applicant that is. But, you know, if there's something we can do to still make the activity occur. They don't like when people get turned away for little stuff that could have been solved.
Right.
And so a lot of our meetings that we have as DPEs, it's the FISDO people showing us all these resources that we have at our disposal to try to get the job done. And ultimately, it still depends on the applicant and, mm-hmm. and the instructor preparing the applicant. And there's some things, and I've had people come without the requirements met, meaning flight time in their logbook that they just didn't get. And, that's thanks for your time. We'll see you later.
But all that stuff.
That reflects really poorly on the flight instructor, though, because they're supposed to be verifying that before they even recommend.
Absolutely. You want to talk about a bad start to a flight test is something being wrong with the paperwork that the instructor screwed up, because the applicant's not supposed to know this stuff. The instructor is. So, that's another.
That's a whole other issue. Thing. Right. But all that stuff should be in your logbook, and you should have that with you all the time anyway, shouldn't you? As a flight student? and training?
Well, some people keep it in their logbook. Others keep it in their wallet. Some have a separate binder that they keep because, hey, maybe they're bouncing between a couple different planes. So, you know, you just have to keep track. Personally, I keep my certificate and a copy of my medical on me at all times because I never forget my wallet. But I understand with, you know, some flight instructors want to have it in their portfolio because they don't want to have all of that clutter on them.
Yeah. Would a picture on your phone count, by the way? No, it doesn't. You have to have the original copy, huh?
You need to have your actual certificate and a government-issued photo ID. Now, if you're doing basic med, you just need to have the logbook entry and be able and a copy of the medical exam. And again, all of that's covered in the second item here, which is medical certificates, which is also under FAR 61, but it's 61.23. And it'll tell you what type of medical certificates you need, depending on what type of ratings you're going to, you know, you're pursuing or what operations you're doing. And even your age.
You got to be able to prove how old you are. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, because after you go over age 40, your medical is only good for 2 years instead of five.
Okay. All right.
Well, so you should already know that.
He knew that. He was just testing us.
Yeah, duh. We'll continue this list on the other side. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How do they get all that metal up in the air? It makes no sense.
It also doesn't make any sense how much you're sweating.
Ha! He thinks we're all gonna die. This guy.
If the plane doesn't kill you, I will.
Looks like it's time for someone to take their sleepy pill.
You're gonna be okay. You gotta fly, gotta fly away. No need to be afraid. Just gotta fly, gotta fly away.
This is Just Plain Radio. Bring your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis and Ed. As we share with you a list of 10 items to make you do better on your next check ride. We've covered two, all your certificates that you need to bring, your logbook, your medical, that kind of thing. And I guess we got eight more items that'll make you just do that much better. Is that right, Dennis?
Yeah, the next thing you're going to want to make sure you have dog-eared in those regulations is the flight review and experience. Because if you remember, Greg, you have to do a flight review. How frequently do you need to fly with an flight instructor to keep your privileges as a private pilot?
Once every 3 months, 6 months, once a year. It's just one of those.
Biannual flight review.
Review.
So
that was my next
24
answer.
24 calendar months. And then if you want to take passengers with you, how frequently do you need to do something? Remember that three landings every 90 days or landings at night if you want to take those passengers at night. All of that is in FAR 6156 and 6157.
Well, so of course.
Having those dog-eared, when the examiner asks you, are you able to, you know, are you legal and current, you just point to those regulations and go, here's what it says I need to do, and yes, I have.
All right, so three takeoff and landings and three takeoff and landings at night every 90 days.
I don't want Greg to misunderstand this. He doesn't just have to point at 6156 or point at 6157 and say, this is the answer. He actually needs to say what he just said.
Well, so I have to read it.
You have to understand it.
And more importantly, he has to show you where in his logbook he's accomplished that as well.
That too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've kind of done that, I think. I think I have.
But you see where we're going is we're setting up, if you haven't already figured this out, you should probably have a little cheat sheet of these things with like those flights that meet those requirements and, you know, just have that on a little form off to the side. So when the examiner asks you for this information, you've got it there. Do the same thing with your aircraft. Go and pull the, when was the annual last done? When was the 100 hour? When are the ADs complied with? Have all that in a little crib sheet so that you can just hand it to the examiner so that he's not having to go look through the logs in your logbook to try to come up with the totals.
Right.
They're not easy. I actually have PDFs that I send the applicants to do their own logbook audit to put down the dates they did these various requirements on. It makes it quicker for me to go through their logbook or the aircraft logs and start the test. So we don't spend as much time going through the administrative part. And yes, it immensely helps the process and smooths it out so we can get started quickly.
Well, what would happen, Ed, if I actually went to you and we started this examination and I said, hey, look, I got this quiet. I have this 10 item list. Can we just work through this in order? It'll be easier for me. Would you just look at me and say,
I'll go through it in order, but I'm not going to stop at the 10.
Oh, well. Well,
I thought where you're going with this thing.
Here, I got it all right here. It's all in order. If you do it in order, it'll be way quicker, and I don't have to even look up anything. I have it right there in front of me. All right, well, you can try, but I have a feeling it won't work out the way I was thinking. All right, so that's that's three of them. Are we on four? Is that it?
Yep, we're on number four here, and this is the big one. So FAR 61.109 is related to aeronautical experience. And this is all of the required training and flight hours that you need to for the particular rating that you are going for. So this would be all of the requirements that you have to meet to be eligible to take your private pilot exam. Things like your 3 hours across country, one flight over 100 miles, the 10 takeoffs and landings to a full stop at a towered airport, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely had better be able to show that you've accomplished all that with your CFI. And so again, having that crib sheet put together, here's all the requirements. These are the days that I'd made these flights. Here's the total hours I have. We'll show that you're more prepared so that Ed isn't wasting his time and your time and making you sweat a lot longer during that oral.
True. Okay. All right. So the next one.
61.113. This is private pilot limitations. And this is what you, as a private pilot, what are you allowed to do? What limitations are set by the FAA? You know, can you be compensated for direct flight costs? Can you split expenses? Things like that. So be aware of that, because I'm sure that you are going to be quizzed on that, because the FAA is very concerned about illegal charter operations and sharing of expenses. So be familiar with that regulation, be able to point to it, and be able to look up and answer questions, because I'm sure he's going to find some sort of a scenario question to ask you about that.
Is that going to happen, Ed? You do this all the time. Are you going to say, hey, Greg, you know, if you are flying with some buddies, are you able to share your full fuel cost and fly over to the Bahamas? Would you do that kind of thing?
I would not make it that simple.
Well, that blows. Well, so give me an example. What would you do?
A more involved scenario that would pull something like that as one of the many things that you have to answer about it.
Mm, you wouldn't make it that easy, huh?
No.
That figures. Okay.
Not for you.
Well, not for me. All right, but.
So are you catching on to this, Greg, that you better find a different DPE?
No. Here's the thing. If I can survive Ed, it'll just make me a better pilot.
We all might be safer.
Yeah. That's how I look at it. I don't have a problem being drilled. I mean, look, we do the show every week, and I get hammered constantly.
He's got some of the thickest skin I know.
Heck yeah.
That's true. It's been, 8 years since you last flew, and we haven't let you forget it?
Okay. That's enough. Moving on to number six. What do you got?
All right. 91.3. This is your responsibilities as the pilot in command. So this is going to be, what is your authority as pilot in command? All of your responsibility, all of the things that you can and cannot do as PIC.
Well, pretty much everything, if you're the pilot in command. I know this because it kind of hit close to home on one of my first solo flights.
You mean that right 360 in the traffic pattern at 300 feet?
Yeah. Right.
But, so unable.
That's what you're supposed
emergencies,
to say.
Right. All of that kind of stuff is going to be in here.
Mm-hmm. So really, if you're pilot in command, you have no limitations.
That's not true.
That's not the answer?
That's not true.
Oh.
You might want to brush up on that one a little
bit.
Okay,
yeah. I'll have to work on that. All right, so that was six. What about seven? What do you got, Dennis?
91-103, and this is kind of a catch-all reg, I think. This is the, call it pre-flight actions, but this is all of the things that are, you know, you're required to become familiar with all available information for a flight, runway lengths at airports of intended use. All of that type of information is required in here in 103.
Okay. All right. And then number eight?
That's going to be your VFR weather minimums. So FAR 91-155, what do you require for weather? And you're going to need to know, what airspace are you in? Is it day or night? What's your cloud clearances? All of that type of information. And, you know, that you're going to need to be able to point to that and be able to explain it to the examiner, be able to take a METAR or even a TAF and look at it and tell the examiner that we are going to be able or not able to fly safely today and why.
Okay.
And this one is, that reg in itself and a couple others, you put them together in a great scenario question that you're, and it's real world. It's why we do scenario questionings, is we try to say, this is the information you need to know. And that's what this list is you need to read these regs. You need to understand these regs and be able to apply these regs to a real world situation. And you could wrap three or four of these regs up into the same question and to show that you really know how to interpret it and then use the information.
Wow, this is much bigger than a top 10 list. Oh, geez, my head's going to explode.
But you'll be ready for that check ride.
I'm going to make it happen. We got two more to go. That's coming up next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What do we do now?
Now? We fix the plane. And we fly back across the mountains. Together.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. Dan is me, along with Captain Dennis and Ed, rounding out the crew. All right, so we had 10 items that would make you perform better on your next check ride. We're down to the last couple. So what do we got, Dennis?
Well, aircraft documentations and inspections covers a number of regulations like 9109, 91203, et cetera. But basically, those Ed was already alluding to earlier was, how do we know the airplane's legal to fly? You know, did it have its annual inspection or ADs complied with? Did we get the transponder and pitot-static system checked? All of those types of things are covered in those regulations. And so having that documented, knowing where to find that information so that you can make it quick and easy to show the examiner that the airplane's legal and you're safe to fly.
Okay. So I know this is radio and you can't see what I'm doing, but this is my impression of somebody looking at an aircraft logbook on flight test.
Mm-hmm. What, they wrote it on your hand?
No, they're just looking at page after page.
They've never
looked at it before.
So you should
don't know what this stuff looks like.
So you should be familiar with the layout of your logbook. Yeah.
Well, and maybe it's a good opportunity for you to sit down with your A&P or with your FBO's A&P, depending, and have them, you know, explain what you're looking at in these logs, because you can learn a lot.
Well, wait a minute. If you filled out the logbook yourself, you should know what you wrote in there, even if it was 8 years ago.
We're talking the engine and airframe logs when maintenance activities are done.
Oh, okay. You're not talking about the other logbook that I have to refresh my memory on. You're talking about the maintenance ones. Okay, I understand now. I gotcha. So you should be able to read that chicken scratch as well, which is
not just read chicken scratch, but know which entry is which.
Right.
Because you know, you as the new pilot in command are going to be responsible for determining that this airplane is airworthy. And if you've never flown this airplane before, you need to look at the maintenance records to determine that. You don't just take the flight school or the rental company's word for it, because you know they're not going to get in trouble if they've missed a maintenance item. You are.
Mm-hmm. So you better be up to speed on that kind of stuff. You're gonna quiz me if you're my examiner.
Back, yeah, that comes back to 91.3, your responsibilities as a pilot in command.
Mm-hmm. So how would that work exactly, Ed? Would you bring up the question like, hey, by the way, this 182, we're supposed to do our check ride in today. Greg, do you happen to know the last time the engine was overhauled? That kind of question or what?
Well, it's twofold. One, I can't start the test until I've looked at the maintenance records and determined that the airplane is acceptable for the test.
Yeah.
Once I've done that, then, of course, we start the test. And then it's a scenario. You know, here's the scenario. We're taking this airplane on the trip today. You know, you told me you need to, and they're going to tell me what documents need to be on board the airplane. They're going to tell me what maintenance items have to be done. I'll pick a few of them and say, okay, find me the airworthiness, the pitot static or the transponder and the ELT. So they actually have to go through and find the most recent inspection
okay. And
read and say, this is it. And then I'll say, okay, when's the next one due? And they'll have to give me the date that the next one's due by looking at the entry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real world. Sit down, look at the logbooks. If you're trying to determine that this airplane is legal to fly, show me that you know how to do that. And by the way, that makes sure our airplane is legal.
Makes sense. Throw them a curveball too, Ed. You know, something like, hey, this airplane, say it's got 5 hours left to go on the 100-hour inspection. We're going to do a 10-hour cross-country flight. Can we take this airplane?
Exactly.
And the answer is, just so I know.
Well, is it my airplane or is it one of Ed's airplanes that I'm renting from the flight school? Because the answer will be different.
Well, but why would your airplane need 100-hour?
That's exactly the point. It doesn't. But the one that the flight school would, but we can go 10% over on a 100-hour as long as there's certain requirements have to be met.
But the big thing about that is, you know, the people like to go to that, but that is simply to get it to a base where a 100-hour can be done.
Correct.
Not the base you want to have the 100-hour done. So if the mechanic resides at the airport you land at, guess what? That's where your 100-hour is going to get done. That's the way the FAA will interpret it. So,
yeah, it doesn't mean you get to go to 110 hours this time just because.
Exactly. And that you want to get it to your mechanic. And so most flight schools will avoid that like the plague, because it's also hard to document, you know, and because they get inspected on a regular basis. So most of them will just stay away from saying 100 hours are absolute, because most of them have ADs due at the same time. And the ADs cannot be overflown. Unless, of course, it's specified in the AD that it can be.
Golly.
Clear as mud.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I was going with that. All right, we got one final tip to share, and what would it be?
And the last one's actually kind of one of my favorites. It's 91205, which is fondly referred to as A Tomato Flames by most students. And this is the requirements for what equipment your aircraft is required to have for flight in VFR conditions. That's going to be, you know, airspeed indicator, tachometer, oil pressure, all of those in, you know, things that are required to make the airplane legal. There's also an addendum to that called flaps, which is covers all the things that are required in addition to that for night flight, such as the fuses, a landing light, anti-collision position, etc. So being able to explain that to your examiner shows that you're prepared and know where to find the stuff in the regulations, and, you know, coming up with that list and being able to explain it to them means that you understand it as well. It's not this, I can find this regulation, I know what those things are.
Right. And obviously I understand it, but just for everybody else, just to bring them up to speed, air tomato flights means what?
A tomato flames.
It's a tomato flames. That's what I said.
It's an abbreviation or a mnemonic to remember altimeter, tachometer, oil temperature, manifold, airspeed,
right.
Temperature gauge is oil pressure, fuel quantity, landing gear position, anti-collision, magnetic direction indicator, compass, ELT, and safety belts.
Tomato farts, right?
Yes. All that A tomato flames.
Tomato flames. Those, that's what I said. Exactly.
Covers all of the required equipment for VFR day flight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there you go. Like you said, Ed, clear as mud. 10 ways to make your flight examination just go a little bit smoother, possibly. And if you don't know it, you ain't ready, I guess, is the moral of that story or that list, right? You think, Dennis?
Well, it's definitely review items for you and your instructor that, you know, let's go over that, set up some of these scenarios.
You guys just went over it.
Right, but you need to do it with your instructor before your check ride and make sure you have all those things
in
place.
That's what you did with Greg, because you're his instructor.
Yeah,
this is
see?
True, because you're not anymore.
Yeah, air, tomato, fluff.
A tomato, flames.
Flames, right. Okay, so,
you know. Light your, whatever.
Oh, geez. All right, just moving on to something a little bit more upbeat and positive. You know, we're in Florida. That's where we're based out of. We get these... We got a lot of rocket activity lately with SpaceX. They just landed the pilots from the space capsule or space lab up there and brought them down in the Gulf, and that was successful. Did you see that?
I didn't get to see the landing of Crew 1, but I actually got to watch a week, you know, less than a week earlier, the launch of the Crew 2. And it's just one of those things. You know, we talked about it when the first one launched. I've always wanted to see a manned space flight, but to stand out in my front yard and look to the north and actually see a spaceship climbing out, that's incredible.
Right. Yeah, we had another one this week as well. And
I think there's another space or stars. What is
SpaceX,
it? Starlink.
Yeah,
SpaceX's Starlink satellites. They're launching those things like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Keep getting them up there because I want my fast, cheap internet.
Yeah. But I noticed, when the crew splashed down in the Gulf this week, that they said, okay, they're back. They're going to have to quarantine for 10 days. I mean, were they not wearing masks up there in the space station? What the hell? What's that all about? What are they going to quarantine for?
Is there
do that when they come back from space. They did it with the Apollo and all of them.
Yeah, because the
they
alien
might bring
microbes.
Back a space germ.
Yeah. You know? Well, there. Yeah. There, what was that movie? Interstellar. Which one was it? I was wondering where they did that. But that's what that is, huh? It had nothing to do with the fact that they weren't wearing masks. Or anything up there, I guess, right?
I think they had complete suits.
Before they launched.
They had to quarantine. Even before they launched, they had to quarantine.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to bring that virus up to the space station. It's a little hard to get medical help.
Well, there's that. But, you know, I figured they were landing in Florida. We're wide open. You don't have to quarantine or nothing here. But NASA is NASA. All right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.